From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to a broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. The text is chapter 22, verses 1 through 8, in which Joshua addresses the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. Before the conquest of Canaan began, these tribes had requested of Moses that they might settle on the east side of the Jordan, a place well suited to raising their cattle. At the same time, they had promised to go to battle along with the other tribes until the land should be subdued. The conquest having been completed, Joshua brings these tribes together to commend them for their loyalty and faithfulness over the long years of warfare. As they prepare to depart for their own lands, Joshua encouraged them to remain faithful to the Lord. From this narrative, Dr. Cairns is bringing a message entitled Godly Dedication, in which he is seeking to provide a pattern for individual Christians as well as for the church at large. First of all, we've seen that the character of godly dedication is marked by a hearty obedience to the will of God. Then it involves fighting the Lord's battles. These battles are fought on many fronts, but the first and perhaps the most crucial battle is against self. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the next portion of this message. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from Morning by Morning, a collection from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher C.H. Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in Psalm 89 and verse 19. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. Why was Christ chosen out of the people? Speak, my heart, for heart thoughts are best. Was it not that he might be able to be our brother in the blessed tie of kindred blood? Oh, what relationship there is between Christ and the believer! The believer can say, I have a brother in heaven. I may be poor, but I have a brother who is rich and is a king. And will he suffer me to want while he is on his throne? Oh, no! He loves me. He is my brother. Believer, wear this blessed thought like a necklace of diamonds around the neck of thy memory. Put it as a golden ring on the finger of recollection, and use it as the king's own seal, stamping the petitions of thy faith with confidence of success. He is a brother born for adversity. Treat him as such. Christ was also chosen out of the people that he might know our wants and sympathize with us. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. In all our sorrows, we have His sympathy. Temptation, pain, disappointment, weakness, weariness, poverty, He knows them all, for He has felt all. Remember this, Christian, and let it comfort thee. However difficult and painful thy road, it is marked by the footsteps of thy Savior. And even when thou dost reach the dark valley of the shadow of death, and the deep waters of the swelling of Jordan, thou wilt find His footprints there. In all places whithersoever we go, He has been our forerunner. Each burden we have to carry has once been laid on the shoulders of Emmanuel. His way was much rougher and darker than mine. Did Christ my Lord suffer, and shall I repine? Take courage. Royal feet have left a blood-red track upon the road, and consecrated the thorny path forever.
Christ suffered me.
From time to time, here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include such issues as, what is the gospel? Why did Christ have to be virgin-born? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? What's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. As we've mentioned, all of these video clips have been available on the ltbsradio.com website. Now we're pleased to make available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy of Q&A with Alan Cairns free of charge simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD of Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email ltbs@freepress.org. That's ltbs@freepress.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Finally, if you wish, you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day.
Moses gave these people commandment to leave their wives and their families, their homes and their cities, to leave them by faith. He commanded them to set out upon a campaign of awful warfare from which some of them would never return to those wives and families. He commanded them to trust the defense of their newly founded home to the Lord. Certainly there were enemies who would seek to take advantage of their absence and devastate the newly won area and wipe out the very memory of their children. These people knew that there were many who would seek to do them harm. But Moses was calling them to take their stand by faith that the God who had given them victory in the first place would put the fear of them on the nations round about, and that he would maintain what he had given them in safety. It was a big command. As I say, it's very easy to read these Old Testament narratives and fail to see just what lies behind them. What a command to give. Try to put yourself in the position of those soldiers. There are your undefensed cities. Well, leave them undefensed. There are your unprotected wives and children and old people. Well, leave them unprotected. Let God protect them. That was the first command. And then to fight up and down the length and breadth of the promised land for years, to give the best years of their life, years that they would have hoped to have spent in the tillage of their own land and in prospering their own business and in establishing their own families. Leave it all. Fight up and down the land of Canaan. Terrible commands, but these 2.5 tribes fully obeyed. And that's the mark of true godliness. A hearty obedience to the revealed will of God. Godliness starts with this obedience. You remember John the Apostle thought this was so fundamental that he indeed made it essential as a mark of salvation. He says, we are of God. 1 John 4, verse 6. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. This is so fundamental that the Apostle John says, when God reveals his will, it is the mark of the presence of the Holy Spirit that God's people open up to obey that will. It is the mark of the presence of error that denies the plain statement of God through his word and feels to render obedience to it. You remember what Peter said in Acts 5 and 29? We ought to obey God. We are usually so much taken up with the rest of the verse, we ought to obey God rather than men. We are so much taken up with finding that there are reasons and times when we ought not to obey men that we forget the first part of the verse. We ought to obey God. Oh, I would to God that every Christian would write that as the motto text of his life. We ought to obey God. Whatever the situation, wherever you are, we'll see this more fully in a moment, but wherever you are, we ought to obey God. What is the Christian's duty in any situation? To obey his God. Nothing can take the place of this obedience. All the money in the world given to missions cannot take the place of personal obedience. To obey is better than sacrifice. to hearken to God is better than the fat of rams. God does not take as great a delight in anything else that a Christian does as he does in the action of an obedient heart. The first element in godly dedication is obedience to the Lord. You see, that sets the framework for everything else. Let's settle it in our minds that what he saith unto us, we will do. Let's settle that in our minds. Because he says it. When we can understand it, do it because he says it. When we can't understand it, do it because he says it. The revealed will of God. Now let me guard this clearly. Joshua says, you obeyed Moses. That's the law. We'll be studying the law of God for the next number of Sabbath evenings, so we trust that we'll come to understand more fully what that means, to obey God's law. But he says, you've also obeyed my voice. Remember that Joshua throughout this book is the great picture of Jesus leading his people into the rest that God has promised for them, and finally into glory itself. You've obeyed my voice, the voice of God, by the law and by the gospel. That is the call of God. There is no deep antagonism between law and gospel. Those who obey the gospel will most fully obey the law. God does not say to his people that the gospel sets you apart from obeying the law. The very opposite is the case. Thomas Manton, the great Puritan, was fighting the antinomians of his day, and he asked the question of these people who insisted that God's people had now no obligation to the obedience of the law of God. And he said, if that were so, why would it be the mark of the new covenant that God says, I will write my laws in their heart? Why would God use that language to say, that is the new birth, that is passing from death unto life, that is being saved, if being saved meant you had no obligation to obey God's law? Manton was right. Let me tell you, we are called to obey God's law and we're called to obey God's gospel. That sets the framework of godly dedication. Now, we're not called to obey all that every preacher says. We should be very careful of even the motions of our own heart. In this day of the charismatic delusion, you have people and you have preachers who are working people up into all sorts of feelings, and they get all sorts of fuzzy little ideas. And I've had people come and tell me, God told me to do this, and God told me to do that, and God told me to do the other thing. When I ask them, show me it in the Bible, give me any biblical base for it, they haven't a clue. Remember a church splitting itself right down the middle because a couple of fellows, well, more than a couple, a handful of people, otherwise good, spiritual, upright people, they came to the conclusion that a certain minister was the man that God had called there. And they fought the other man who was there tooth and nail because they said, you're not the man for this place. God has told us this other man should be here. Of course, the other man said, well, it's a strange thing. God hasn't told me anything of the kind. And I have no notion of going. And if the place were empty tomorrow, I wouldn't be there. I'm in the place where I ought to be. And God proved that in many ways. But they split the church. And they put themselves out of fellowship and many ways marred their lives. Why? Because they were insincere? No, they were perfectly sincere. But because they were following the dictates of their own little mind, thinking it was the leading of God. Let's bring everything we want to do to the touchstone of Holy Scripture, to the law and to the testimony. And then when we've got it to God's Word, that binds the conscience. Godly dedication starts with this obedience to God's revealed will. And then in verse 3, it is marked by fighting the Lord's battles. Verse 3, you have not left your brethren these many days. Unto this day you have kept the charge and the commandments of the Lord your God. Fighting the Lord's battles. These 2.5 tribes give themselves wholeheartedly to battling their way against every foe in the promised land. That's a picture of God's people. In every age, we're called to wage war. Now, I know in this age, that is symbolism that is becoming less and less honored among God's people. But nonetheless, it is biblical. We're called to wage war on the world, on the flesh, and on the devil. Paul said to Timothy, 1 Timothy 1:18, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before upon thee, that thou by them mightest wage or war a good warfare." Fight the good fight of faith, he says in chapter 6, verse 12. War a good warfare. Fight the good fight. As he said to the Ephesians in chapter 6, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God." To do what? To admire yourself in the mirror. To go get your picture taken, frame it, put it in the wall, and tell everybody what a good-looking soldier you are. No, sir. Put on the whole armor of God, in order that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We're called to fight the Lord's battles. Now, there are battles on every front. The first battle that the Christian has to fight is right in himself. You've got to fight a battle in your own heart. You've got to fight the battle in your own mind. You've got to fight the battle in your own life. The man who cannot win the battle in his own life, in his own thoughts, with his own affections, with his own words, the man who cannot win the battle over his own feelings, is a man who is unlikely to succeed in any other kind of spiritual warfare. He will be like a city whose walls have been breached. The picture that Solomon paints, the man who can't keep his own spirit, the man who cannot win the battle spiritually in his own life, is certainly wide open to every other attack of the devil and will be rendered largely useless. I have known men of great talent, and yet they wrecked what appeared to be a life of usefulness in the ministry of the gospel and the service of God. Why? Because they had no power of personal victory. This is where it's got to start. It's the battle against sin, inbred sin. It's the battle of sanctification. That's where the good fight of faith commences, in personal holiness unto the Lord.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website, at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we let the Bible speak.